And I'm glad you're back. Episode 332. I don't even want to think how many hours doing this I've put in. 332 plus. Parish of the Patriots, I appreciate y'all coming back. I do. This would be no fun if no one was listening. I like to think it's fun. I think we're having a fun discussion here. If you are new, I hope you'll give the whole show a chance. It may start out sucky. Maybe it sucks in the middle. Maybe it's a little lame on the end. But I think taken as a whole, it's a fun experience. I try to initiate interesting discussion, trains of thoughts for you to follow. Do have a, if you are new, we do have a Christian-specific segment, a sermon, if you would. That is roughly, it's not very sermon-like, to be honest, but it's roughly at the halfway point of the show. I hope you'll listen to that, too. I think it's the best part. It's the central part of the show. Give it a shot. If you're just absolutely not going to, then I do put it separate. So, because I'm just like that. If you do get something out of the show, don't be shy to pay those tithes. There's one and only way, and that is the snail mail. You can disregard the crypto addresses on Radio Albion in the sense that I have no access to that. You put Bitcoin in there, I can't access it. Why do you leave them up, Dan? Because those are Sven's. I'm counting the days. Yes, I'm counting the days when Sven is 100% free. Believe you me. And I strive for Radio Wildbin to be as much here as the way he left it. That is what I strive for. I know it needs a remodel. Bad. Trust me, I know this. We do the best we can. I know having the entire site basically just consists of Dr. Johnson and myself. And we both do our best. But I know that's very limited amount of content. Look, I get it. We're on the clock. We're getting down. Sven will be back and can mess with all of that. I don't know, I don't want to say, I don't know how it's all going to work out. I don't know how much, if, whatever kind of role he's going to play. That's up to him. And with what he's been through, that's 100% his call. So I don't know what he's going to do 100% for sure. But I do know I don't plan to continue. I don't plan to continue taking on as much work as I have been in his absence. We'll just leave it at that. And he is doing well. I know y'all want me to update you more. There's not a lot to update on. He's just continuing on what we would call parole here in America. They have a different term over there. He's doing very well, follows the program, does what he's supposed to do. And anyway, I kind of got off on a tangent already. It won't be the first time, trust me. I do leave it here, the site, as much as I can. That's why there are still crypto addresses there. Those belong to him. I'm not taking them down. For this show, if you get something out of it, it's the snail mail. And I do appreciate you sending something in. And so we will do the listener supporter mailbag. We only got one this week, which is one more than we have on other weeks sometimes. So it's that much more appreciated. GPD, is there a difference? And this is a good question. GPD, is there a difference between the Zionist Evangelical Church and the MCC? And that's from Triangle Whip, or as I usually refer when I see something here, I just call it the Whip. That's from the Whip, Triangle Whip. And then again, is there a difference between the Zionist Evangelical Church and the MCC? Now, if you are new, the MCC is a term I use for the Modern Cup Church, because I do think it's important to separate this, all of these different modern cuckery, churchery to traditional Christianity, if you were. And that's a good question. I would say it's a difference of scale. The MCC, and I don't want to sound like Trump, MAGA's me, MAGA's whatever I say it is. The MCC is the term I made up, and it's whatever I say it is. For me, the MCC, the Modern Catholic Church, is a broad term, and it's encompassing of a lot of things. In other words, the Zionist evangelical churches, you know, you're probably not going to see so much, I don't know, lesbian ministers performing weird, I don't know, burning incense to, you know, Gaia or some shit that you're liable to see in some of these so-called Christian denominations. You may not see that, but they're kind of a part of that whole broad heresy. Because I do think it's fair to lump them all together. The Modern Cuck Church is more of a category. Think of the Modern Cuck Church not as something specific. And again, this is a good question because I have been asked this before. And I'm probably not even very good. I haven't answered it very well in the past. I've had people ask me, what is this MCC you talk about? What's this MCC? Modern Cuck Church. And I just assume people get what it is. The way to think about it is, for me, at least, the Modern Cuck Church is a category. It's not specific. If I say the Modern Cuck Church, I don't just mean the Anglican Church or the Church of England. But they are definitely a part of it. When you see some weirdo church in Sweden, you know, with the lesbian bishop with her rainbow frock around her, I don't know, marrying somebody to the damn dog or whatever. I don't know. You know what I'm talking about? That is not, they fit into the category of the MCC, but it's a broad, all-encompassing, It's a category. So there's a lot of this nonsense that fits in the category. And yes, these Zionist evangelical lunatics, they are in the category. Now, they would sit there and tell you they're all against all of these other members of the same category, and they would take umbrage, they would take offense at the fact that I put them in the same category of heretics. Because it is, it's heresy. All kidding aside, it is heresy. They are in this, they would take offense knowing that I put them in the same category as the lunatic lesbian minister having a marriage ceremony between a woman and her dog. They would say, we would never do something like that. We promote this other heresy. So again, think of the MCC not as anything specific. Think of it as a category. And you put all of this lunacy that you see into that category. If that makes sense. So you're going to have multiple denominations, flavors, and whatever thrown into the category of the MCC. And yes, different denominations might be opposed to one another, but they're still in that broad category of what makes up the MCC. I had a discussion with somebody the other day, and like I said, we're just going to roll on because that was our only note here. And it's a good jumping off point. Let me back up because I actually start this off with something y'all are going to find funny. Y'all are going to laugh because this is the sort of thing that happened to me. Because I go out and talk to all kinds of people. I don't live like a hermit. I go out and I talk to people, and I have people that I know, talk to, like, whatever, that don't necessarily, you know, view everything that I do. That's how life is, by the way. If you're only going to talk to and communicate with people who walk in, you know, lockstep with your opinions, you're going to have a lonely life. Talk to all kinds of people. And recently, and, you know, the person who did this had 100% well-meaning. And I like them, and I'm not, you know, there's never any ugliness on my part. You know, I just bless people's hearts. They mean well, you know. And when somebody's trying to extend kindness to me or you know, doing something, even if they're incorrect, you know, I'm not going to return that. How can I say? I don't want to say with evil. Let's just say I'm not going to be an asshole about it, okay? Although sometimes I still get accused of that. But anyway, what you're going to find funny. I had somebody recently offer me. They said, man, I got a book. You got to check this out. You got to check this book out, bro. You know, okay. And whip out the book. And I don't even remember what it was called. But I mean, the first thing I see is the author's name. And it was that John Hagee guy. I told y'all would think this funny. here, Dan, you're going to really, this is eye-opening. And they hand you this book by John Hagee. And as I said, I know people mean well. And I don't, I'm not going to be ugly, but I'm not going to lie. My immediate reaction was literally, I'm not going to read that shit. And I wasn't trying to be ugly. And honestly, I thought it was funny, but yeah, I'm not going to read that shit. Anyway, this led to a further discussion over it because I was telling this story to someone else. And, you know, again, and they were kind of confused why I had that reaction. This other person I was talking about it. It's going back to this evangelical Christian Zionist thing. And, you know, I said, you know, there's no way you can be a decent human being or believer and look at what you can look at that is available, and they're covering up the vast majority of it, and look at what is available of what this modern nation state of quote-unquote Israel is doing to the Palestinians and be okay with that. I don't care how much you hate brown Muslims from the Middle East. You know, for whatever reason, you might feel that way. More than likely, that reason is because they've been mass imported into your country, which doesn't make any sense that you would not like them in the Middle East because they're in their own country and they're not bothering you. See, I think people conflate the issues here. But anyway, I don't care how you feel about those people. You cannot look at what they're doing to these people. I read elsewhere, but before that, Dr. Johnson here on Radio Albany, Matthew Raphael Johnson, did a show when he was talking about it. It was a fairly recent Daily Nationalist show where he was talking about these aid death traps now that Israel is doing. And what they've basically done is they're starving the people to death. They don't let humanitarian aid come in. So now they say, well, we're going to distribute it. And so they set up an aid center. And of course, the Palestinians, they know it's a trap. But when you're literally starving to death and you're watching your kids starve to death, you kind of got no choice. And desperately, they'll come in there to try to hope to get a cup of rice or some shit. And then they just kill them. They shoot them. I don't care how you feel about the Palestinians per se, but you cannot, as a Christian believer and as a human being, you cannot look at that and be okay with it. There is no... People like John Hagee and these Zionist evangelical assholes, you cannot look at that and justify it. You can't. You can't look at that and say, well, yeah, but God's chosen people. You can't. I don't know how these people... Well, I do know how. You know how, too. They're on the payroll. Yeah, that's it. Something I say and I can't prove it. So let me rephrase that. It is my belief that they're on the payroll. It is my belief that you don't get a megachurch. You don't get on TV. You don't get to publish big, thick books and have your name recognizable and you get interviewed on the news. You don't get that unless you're on the payroll. That's my belief. But I find it sad that they are able to pack large venues with people. When they're justifying that. You know, and I guess a lot of these people are really, they live a sheltered life in the sense of, you know, their internet exposure probably amounts to Facebook, you know, and they get fed certain things. But just a little bit of looking around, you can see what's going on. I say Dr. Johnson here on Radio Albion has had several, he's got a lot of material that he well researched out what's going on. This is verified by other news sources. You don't want to say, well, that's one guy talking about it. Look, this is well documented. It's covered in other foreign media sources that they're doing things like these aid traps. and slaughtering these people. They're starving to death, and now they're slaughtering them. You cannot be a decent human being at all, much less a Christian believer, and be okay with that. To think this is what God's chosen people would do. I always wonder with those weirdos too. They always that whip out this, the Jews are God's chosen people. And yet they're Christian, supposedly. They're a Christian. They claim to be a Christian. And they go on about how we got to support the Jews because they're God's chosen people. Israel, the modern nation state of Israel. Is Israel the Bible? Because it's got the same name. And we got to support these people and demand our government give them even more money. And they don't notice. Why would they line up like that? But anyway, you know, I don't know how they go on like people listen to them go on like that. And then they never stop and think, well, where does that leave me? As a Christian believer, if these Jews are the Israelites of the Bible, and there's God's chosen people and this and that, and we all just basically live to serve them, then what's the whole point? Where do I fit in on this? You know, it's kind of like undermining your own product. It's like if you went out to sell a product, only you had a salesman. You went in a place and there's a salesman there and he's supposed to sell you this product. See, you go to Chick-fil-A and you ask the person at the counter at Chick-fil-A, what's your favorite thing? You don't know what to order. So you ask the person working at Chick-fil-A, you say, what's the best thing you should order? What's the best chicken up here that you recommend that I order? And that person launched off into nothing they have is as good as KFC. Nothing they got is as good as KFC. Their favorite thing from KFC is this, and KFC is the actual real chicken. This crap we got here ain't nothing compared to KFC. You'd be like, why are you working here? Why aren't you working at KFC? You're obviously working for KFC, but you sit here in a Chick-fil-A uniform. That's how it's... KFC, Chick-fil-A. Why they go on? Why the hell are you promoting Christianity? Because you obviously, you work for... You working for somebody else? We got to keep rolling because I got something else jotted down there I wanted to get off into. I thought it'd be an interesting discussion, and we still got to do the Christian specific segment. And I'm looking at how far along we are here, and I know we're going to go long today. Hopefully not crazy long. It's all, as usual, dependent on how many tangents I get off on. I've been talking a lot because I've been considering a lot. Y'all have to ever wonder, what have I been thinking about lately? Because I share it here. This is where I come up with over 332 hours of things to ramble about. What I've been thinking about a lot lately, so I've been discussing it here a lot lately, is the systematic programming of people. And I'm going to get into this a little more from a different angle in the Christian specific segment. So I want to make sure I don't, you know, I kind of make this somewhat make sense to follow. And one of the aspects of this, we know how they twist the definition and the meaning of words. We see the obvious out there, how the media does this. You know, how words don't have any meaning. You know, there's multiple examples. I don't have to point them out. I have enough faith in you that you, this audience, that you know what I'm talking about. If you're sitting here going, I don't know what you mean about they change the definition of words, and there's 332 hours. You can go back and listen. You'll figure it out. They changed the definitions of words, and they changed the meaning of words. And we know they do this, and we see it. And here's the thing. People, when you see it out here, but yet people do it themselves as a part of this conditioning, this training that they go through, and how well it works. Words mean things. I was thinking of this and how they obscure the meaning of words and why they do it. Because you see, if words don't have meaning, if the definition, if the meaning of words can be changed, morphed, twisted, then they have no meaning. And what happens is the truth gets obscured. This points again to understanding. You won't understand this unless you understand the spiritual aspect of it. Again, I don't want to get off on that too much here because I do know we're going to get off into it in the, for sure, in the Christian specific segment. But think of the truth as something tangible. And when I was considering it, because again, when I do these shows, this is just things I think about during the week. And if I think that would be something interesting to get into, I just jot like one line down, you know, and then I still wing it here. There is no script. That's pretty obvious. But when I was thinking about this other day, I looked across and I had a can of electronic cleaner sitting over by the computer. And I was, and the can was turned in a manner to where the label where it says electronic cleaner on it was facing away from me. All you could see was the back of the can. Now I know it's electronic cleaner because I'm the one that put it there and didn't put it away. That's why it's sitting on the table by the computer because I never put it up. The truth is that that's a can of electronic cleaner. Now, if I wanted to obscure that, if you were sitting there and you said, hey, what's that over there? And I said, it's a can of bug spray. You wouldn't know because you can't see it yourself. I have now obscured. I give you the definition that over there is a can of bug spray. It's not true. But you don't have a way to look and see for sure. Now, the truth that that is a can of electronic cleaner doesn't change. You see, the truth is anchored. The truth is something solid that cannot be moved. The devil in all his might, he can rally up every force he got. And I know I'm a little preachy early, but he can bring to bear everything he can. And he will not change that truth. That's a can of electronic cleaner. Now for you, I have obscured that truth. It doesn't change what it is. What I have done is obscure the truth of that from you. You see what I'm saying? It's a can of electronic cleaner. That can't be moved. I can sit there and call it whatever. I can say that's not a can of anything. It's a box of chocolates. It's not going to change. But what I have done in this very crude, admittedly crude example, is I have obscured it from you. I have tried to hide what it is. Now, again, this is an overly simplistic answer, granted. But when words don't have meaning, that's why I'm saying words have to have meaning. And I wind up being a stickler for that because it's important. Now, again, it's one thing to look it out, but what's more interesting is to see people close to you do the same thing and not even realize it. Bring it in tighter when you yourself, and yes, I'm talking about me, when I catch myself doing it, I catch myself misapplying words. This is where it gets important because you only have control over yourself. The media can lie and twist the meaning of words all they want to, and there's nothing you can really do about that aside from recognizing what it is and not falling for it. Your power is in yourself, and recognizing yourself falling for this. And sometimes to do that, you have to recognize when those closer to you, people around you in your day-to-day life also fall for this. They do this. A great example, because again, I've been really thinking about society is a broad term. Society is just people, how individual people in this world around us have undergone such an effective programming, you know, and it's based on results. It's extremely effective. Again, I'll get into this some more here in a little bit on the Christian specific side of it. But one of the things they've done that is, now I've talked before about watching for triggers and such. And one of the things they've really done that have made the program stick with people is they've taken things and programmed people to internalize them personally. This is the, now I'm getting down. Finally, we're 25 minutes in here. I'm finally getting down to what I wanted to talk about. I don't know. I do need a vacation. They've programmed people to internalize things. And so by internalizing and personalizing these things, don't worry, I'm going to give an example of this. It'll make sense. By doing that, they have programmed people to defend their lies. See what I'm saying? I'm going to make an example here, and I think this will make sense once I do so. So bear with me. Fairly recently, you know, they supposedly, there is, you've seen these images of the rover on Mars. You know, they launched, SpaceX launched this thing. You know, they sent the rover to Mars. The rover has allegedly landed on, and I have to be up front, I think that's a bunch of bullshit. It's like, if for nothing else, have you seen the rover? This is what cracks me up about this. And I'm not trying, I'm using this as an example. If you believe in the rover on Mars, you're going to miss the point. But I can't help it. If you look at the pictures of this thing, I swear I could kick that off of my porch and it would break. You look at this thing. And would you be comfortable picking it up, say 10 feet in the air, and dropping it on the ground? You would be like, no, you're going to break the rover. And yet we're supposed to believe this thing flew through space to Mars, landed with parachutes, and is rovering around with these little bitty chicken shit wheels out there on Mars, beaming images back to us. Oh, and of course, the images have a red filter because you've seen that in how many movies now? So, of course, you see that in your brain says, that's real. It's red. It's the red planet. I'm using this as an example and already I got off on how silly I think it is. But that's, I'm just being upfront. I don't believe it. Okay. Say you agree with me and you think it's bullshit. And you talk to somebody who does believe it. And you're like, man, can you believe, maybe you don't know that this person doesn't believe it because you think it's so silly that there's nobody could believe that. Oh, my friend, but you're fixing to find out there are people that believe it. And you're talking to somebody you work with, it's your job. And this topic comes up, you know, somebody says, hey man, have you seen the images of that rover from Mars? And you start laughing and you're like, yeah, can you believe anybody buys that shit? I mean, damn, what are they going to tell us next? Only this person you're talking to does believe it. I can virtually guarantee you at some point, whether it's a person IRL or a person on the internet, whatever, at some point, this person is going to say, look, you crackpot. You know, they might be more diplomatic than that. But at some point in time, I can almost guarantee you that the person who does believe it is going to say something along the lines of, we have definitely seen, man, what are you talking about? See, you don't believe there's any rover been sent to Mars. Maybe they're going to say, look, dude, we've already sent a rover to Mars. What do you mean you don't think that's possible? You don't think it's possible to send, why do you not believe there's a rover on Mars? Well, I don't think it's possible. Well, dude, it obviously it's possible. We've already, at some point in time, you're going to hear the we. We've already sent a rover to Mars. What are you talking about? We sent a rover to Mars. We've got the images. That we is what I want you to pay attention to. This is your red flag. Because now words don't have just switched meaning. If the word we is appropriate here, if it has meaning, then that person is telling you that they, this coworker of yours in this example, is telling you if the word we has meaning, this person is telling you that he himself personally, along with whatever number of other people collectively, they themselves put a rover on Mars. You know that's bullshit. Y'all working in a warehouse somewhere. This guy, forklift driver, he didn't put no rover on Mars, and yet he's sitting there, he's standing there telling you, we've already put a rover on Mars. He ain't put shit. You see what I'm saying? when people, part of this training, people will defend the lies. Now, I'm just using this as an example. If I would have used something like the moon landings, that would have been too controversial. People would have got hung up on that, the topic. So I thought maybe this would be a little easier for people to understand. When somebody starts the we nonsense, they're the programming is kicked in and they're defending the narrative because now they've taken that personally. We indicates a personal connection. If I say we did something, I'm saying I myself personally, along with whatever number of other people, we accomplished this and you're denying it. But again, that's not true because that person had nothing to do with it. Whether it's real or not, it's irrelevant. The point is that person did not, the forklift driver at the warehouse you work at, he didn't have anything to do with whether or not a rover went to Mars, and yet he is defending it on a personal level. Why is this effective and why does it matter? Bear with me. Now, we're going to have that same interaction. We're going to use words correctly as they are defined, and you will see why this is important to understand and why it is a part of the programming, and you can recognize it as such. Because if it, the importance to the lie, to twist the meaning of words to hide the truth. We're going to stick with this example, and I hope it'll make sense. Now we're going to use the same interaction, only we're going to use words correctly. The person who believes in it, you've stated, that part doesn't change. You know, you've stated the dubious nature of the idea that there's ever been a rover put on Mars. Now, if the person who believes it responds with the correct usage of words, then they would say something such along the lines of, no, there is a rover on Mars. Because we says they personally, along with any number of people, have done this. If they speak truthfully, and, you know, again, words have to have meaning, they would state, this person would state, no, they have put a rover on Mars. They have sent images back. We know this is true because they have told us so. You see how much weaker that is, isn't it? When somebody comes at you and says, no, we've already done that. We've definitely sent a rover to Mars. I saw pictures on TV. It's real. We did it. You see, there's an emotional element. You know you're not going to convince that person. If somebody comes at you and defends a lie with we, don't waste your time. It's tempting. Don't argue with that person. Because as soon as they hit you with the we, they are telling you, they're communicating to you, this is personal to them. They're claiming to be a part of it when they are not. So they're already lying. Not intentionally, but they are. They've fallen in. Because you see, if it's stated correctly, they have done this. They have sent a rover to Mars. They have sent images back and they have told us about it. That's how we know it's real. This is instinctively much weaker. Why? Because the first question you ask, the first question that comes to mind, and again, the topic here is irrelevant. The first question that comes to mind, if somebody speaks truthfully and says they, first question you're going to have to ask, you know, that pops into your head is, well, who are they? You know, if you're having this discussion on an honest level, then the first question is, well, who are they? They have alleged to have sent a rover to Mars. They are alleging they're sending images back, and they have told us about it. That's how we know it's true. So the first question is, well, who the hell are they? The government? The media? And then once you look at who are they, then the next thing you have to, because you have no way, back to the electronic cleaner, you don't have a way of going and looking to see what it actually says. You ain't got no way to go to Mars and see if there's really a rover on there. You see what I'm saying? So the next question is, you know, because you don't have a way to go and verify that, this is how they trap you into calling you a conspiracy theory, because they know you don't have a way to actually go and check. So you're at their mercy. Anyway, stated correctly, they have done this and they're telling us they have this, they have that. The first question, reasonable question to pop into anyone's mind would be, well, who are they? The government, media, TV, whatever. Okay, then the next logical question after that, now that we know who they are, is to say, okay, well, what is their track record for telling us the truth? You see, it falls apart really quick. You see why it's necessary for them to program people to personalize it. Because if it's not personalized, if they don't change and swap up the definition of words, it all falls apart. Once it goes from being we have done this to they have done this, which leads to who are they, which then logically leads to what is their track record for not bullshitting us. Well, obviously 99.99% of the time they lie to us. Eventually, when enough time goes by, they often will admit they lied to us. Then you say, well, I may not have a way of going. If I sat here, going back to our simple example, I'm the one who sat here and told you that's bug spray, not electronic cleaner. If you're sitting there and I'm telling you this and you know I had a track record, if I had a track record of 99.9% of the time I lie to you about everything and anything, you're going to be skeptical that that's bug spray, aren't you? You see what I'm saying? Once you define who they are and then you say what's their track record of not lying, then a reasonable person is going to be pretty skeptical that there's a rover driving around on like a Hot Wheels on Mars, beaming back images to Earth. It's an extenuation. You see people use this on trivial things too. And that's because the training will kick in on things that don't even matter. You see, the training is so complete. People have been trained and taught to intern to personalize things that aren't personal. And they'll wind up, this will kick in on irrelevant things. You know, a greatest example of this is during the football season, and you go to work on Monday morning, and you know, I live in Texas, so the sports team is the Dallas Cowboys. And you go to your job on Monday morning, and the Cowboys played yesterday, and the guys you work with are all saying, right, like, what are you talking about? We're talking about the game. And then you'll go ahead and listen to their discussion, and what's their good discussion? Man, we couldn't put any points up. Man, our defense, we couldn't get it done yesterday. We let them run. We did this. We did that. That's that programming is kicking in. It's an irrelevant, meaningless topic. But you see, that's the programming reflecting itself. Even though it's a meaningless topic, it doesn't make a shit. You know, it doesn't matter how the Cowboys did. It's usually bad. But that doesn't matter. What you're witnessing is these are people reflecting that programming at you. And if they wee it about the Dallas Cowboys, trust me, if you get into actual important topics, they're going to wee it on that too. Wee it. I just made that up. They weed it. They're weeing it. They're personalizing it. If you get into a controversial topic and you're going to probably hear that word we, and there ain't no we. There ain't no we. It's they. They don't want you talking about they, because then you're going to ask, who are they and what is their track record? What are their track records of telling you the truth? And pretty soon you're going to recognize it's probably a lie. We got to keep it. What's not a lie is we got to get moving into the Christian specific segment. Let's keep it rolling. You don't have to get it in there, fill those pews. Let's get into this week's sermon at the Parish of the Patriots. I know I always start off saying our sermon this week. They're not really very sermon-like. It's more of our just our discussion, but I think it's, I like saying sermon. I thought today we'd kind of think about and talk about, because I just, again, these are things I jot down that come across my mind in my own thoughts and prayer and my spiritual time that I set aside for the Lord every day during the week. And I have these things and I consider them. I just kind of jot the general topic down. think, well, that might make for an interesting discussion, something for folks to consider. And I know some weeks there's things that, you know, you probably don't get that much out of, but there might, it, that same topic may, somebody else may get something out of it. But this week, I thought we'd talk a little bit about the negative, considering we're under, as believers, we're under constant negative spiritual influences. So much so. I mean, we're aware of it. Anytime you look at the news or read news and you see what's going on in the world, and there's so much wickedness and so much evil. But at the same time, we're so surrounded. It's such a constant that I think a lot of times we actually, this causes us to miss some of the elements of it, to not see where they're coming from, because they're coming from all directions, you know. And it, I think it's good to stop and start looking at just individual negative influences, things that have a negative spiritual impact on us. Obviously, the news, the media, and their constant lying is one of the most oppressive. The way they lie to your face. We just had this thing, a spiritual assault on people. They've spent years talking about this Epstein thing, you know, the Epstein list, and what's her name? The blonde woman at the Department of Justice, Pam Bondi. She's like, oh, I've got the list on my desk. We're going over it. And then all of a sudden there's no list. And everybody, of course, was upset about this, and they made a big political show of it. But just the fact that they spent years talking about the list, and then one day they just flip the script and say there's no list. See, these sorts of things are actually, besides just being an affront to your intelligence, they're also an affront to your spirituality, to the truth. You see these things, and it's a form of like a spiritual darkness coming on you. They come all around. That was one of the things that struck me about that, is the fact that they've spent years talking about this, and all of a sudden they're just like, oh, no, that was real. You just imagined it. Anyway, I think one of the things that I see, too, that is just that has a real strong negative spiritual influence, and that is social media. Now, y'all know how I kind of feel about social media in general, and I don't mean to make this yet another rant about that. Yet I only have so many things I can discuss, and hey, why not rant about this again? But the spiritual aspect of it, and I know a lot of y'all are on social media. No, I'm not trying to say you are going to hell if you're on Facebook. It's not what I'm saying. But I think we do well to consider things that have a negative spiritual aspect to this. Just as a test. If you're sitting there kind of rolling your eyes saying, man, I know you're on show number 332. It's hard to come up with topics, but it's starting to really show here. Before you roll your eyes and say that, bear with me. I got a challenge for you. GPD social media challenge. Quit for a week. Log off. And spend exactly 7 days. Not on social media. I don't only mean not posting. I mean, literally, do not look at it. Do not check. Do not see if anybody sent you a message. Nothing. Just turn it off. Don't open it in your phone. Don't open it in your computer. Spend a week not on social media. Now, right now, when you consider that, I would be willing to bet for a lot of you, or at least some of you, you're having a whole flood of things going through your head, justifications of why that's silly and why you shouldn't have to do it. And ask yourself, why is that? I mean, what's the big deal? It's just kind of a pastime. Was it going to hurt? Knock it off a week. Why is it that you're having like a negative emotional reaction to the thought of not logging on to social media for a week? I obviously talk a lot, period. But I talk a lot about when you watch for triggers, When you can be walking along, you can be having a discussion with somebody about something, and you hit these triggers, and you can spot it when you hit these triggers because they were with you all the way up to this point. And then when you accidentally step on one of these triggers, you trip the tripwire, you will see them have an emotional reaction and run backwards from it. And then all of a sudden, everything they were with you on for the last hour or whatever, they run backwards like that never happened, and they regress all the way back to everything they were told in school, everything they were told growing up. You get to where you look for these emotional triggers and you spot that as being a part of the programming, a part of the conditioning. So would you tell, anybody, you go to one of your family members, or you know, maybe you yourself, and you say, log off of social media, don't check it, don't do anything with it. Don't look at it. Don't open it. Look at it. Nothing. For a week. And I'd be willing to bet more times, more often than not, you're going to see that negative emotional trigger, that running backwards from the very thought of, oh, well, I can. It's like people that have a problem with, you know, drinking or whatever. You know, oh, I could quit it at any time. I could quit smoking at any time. I just don't want to. I can do it though. I could quit. I could quit if I, but no, I'm not going to. This raises the question, why is that? I mean, it's just a meaningless pastime. So why is it that so many people would have a negative reaction to that? Because you know they would. The very idea of not logging on there. This is, again, these are red flags that people are being subjected to social engineering, to spiritual conditioning. I think the things, you know, when you look at these effective, if you want to call it brainwashing, it's just, it's not so much brainwashing as social conditioning, training. And I do believe there is a spiritual element to it. I'm talking about this program that they use. We're going to get a little deeper here, and I'm kind of wandering off the social media specific thing here, but we'll eventually, I'm relatively confident we'll wind up back there. Just as a matter of functionality, the program that they use, it works very well for what, I mean, it's evil and it's wicked, but it works very well. The fact that it does so, I mean, I think I said this last week. If not, it was for sure the week before, because I know I've said it a lot. But the entire quote-unquote education system is just a training program. It's a conditioning program. And it works. I mean, there's no denying that it works. Now, that's not to say every teacher in a school is aware that they're taking part in this, that they're in on the conspiracy. But yet it's obviously an intentional program. Where did it come from? And before, you know, easy answer, you know, well, the government, the CIA. Who specifically and who enacted it? And how, if you were in the CIA and you're like, we want to, because I believe if you look back, the conditioning program of the educational system probably goes further back than the establishment of the CIA. But even if you said the CIA, okay, who at the CIA? And how did they decide to implement it nationwide across our education system? And how would you go about, if you were the guy at the CIA and you're like, we're going to use the education system and we're going to use it as a conditioning program to train people to be obedient and to believe our lies. Okay, that's all well and good. You're smart. You came up with this idea. But how are you going to implement it? I mean, you can't go into each and every school. So you're going to have to go to the top and start changing the curriculum. And that's going to take some time. But see, you only have so much time. You know, there ain't very many young guys that have positions of power in an agency like the CIA. Odds are, in the amount of time it would take to implement it, you're going to retire or be dead. So what do you bring somebody else in and you train them up in what you're doing so they can carry on? You see, you start stretching things. And this is how they wind up, by the way, dismissing a lot of this truth that you point out. They dismiss it as conspiracy theory because at some point in time that stretches, believability. You're like, oh yeah, well, who was it? Who's in on it? And how did they establish it? And nobody noticed. Somewhere along the line, somebody in charge of one of these, a large educational system would say, hey, wait a minute. This looks like some sort of mental conditioning program to me. And somebody might have, pushed back against it. But when you recognize a spiritual element, I beat this dead horse to death, and I will continue to do so. I'm sorry. But so much of this stuff that we see around us can't fully be understood unless you understand the spiritual element. It's not to say that's it's all connected. It's not to say that's the only element, but it is a big one. And I do believe that until you recognize the spiritual element of it, you can't really understand it. And you will run into this roadblock where people were like, okay, well, who was it then? And how did they do it? How would you even do that? How would you go about it? How many decades would it take to get in place with nobody really noticing that it happened? How would you organize it? How many people are you going to bring into your plan to start conditioning the population from their time, their children? And the thing is, the educational system isn't the only element of it. You've got media, you get entertainment, you get TV, the movies, the news. Are you going to coordinate all of these things together? Where you want to blame the CIA, the Jews, whoever? Again, that's not to say, they don't have a role in that. But you start stretching believability when you start looking at how vast it is, how intercoordinated it is. The fact that it is going to have central coordination, and you can't point to the coordination. That's what I'm saying. You can't point to. Here's another way to bear down on this. We know how ineffective, as far as getting things done, we know how ineffective the democracy is. If you have a quote-unquote authoritarian system, I would rather just say a monarchy, because you wind up with it just being another. Another spin on monarchy. They'll just dress it up with something else. If you have a monarchy type system, authoritarian type system, whatever you want to call it, and you want to do something, the central authority, the king, if you would, makes the decision, delegates it to people beneath him, and they delegate around them, and it gets done. The king sets it forth. Under the democracy system, nothing gets done. We know, you all know this. Watch things try to get done in democracy. It takes forever and it never happens. And if it does happen, it winds up being an abject failure because there's just too many people with too many agendas and they're all working an angle. And pretty soon everybody with their own agendas and their own angles, it all falls apart, right? And yet, when you look at this vast network that's part of conditioning the population, part of training them, it doesn't fall apart. It's very successful. Now, if we can look at how governments operate, the democracy versus a monarchy, authoritarian system, we know which one is more successful as far as just simply accomplishing things. If you were going to build just one more time, if you were going to build a vast, let's say the high speed, you were going to build high speed rail for the U.S. and you wanted a network of high speed rail all across the U.S. How long is that going to take? How much over budget's going to be? And it won't work. We know this. They trying it. They've been supposedly trying it for years out in California. It doesn't materialize. And yet you have a more authoritarian system in China, and they've got a whole network of high-speed rail. Works really good. For something to be successful, there has to be a central figure. And it's the same thing when we look at this massive social conditioning program. So who's the social, who's the strong central, who's the authoritarian figure? Who's the king? It's the devil. It's Satan. Is it plain and simple? There's your answer. And that's why I say you can't, this won't ever fully make sense until you understand. I'm not talking about being one of these lunatics that blames the devil for everything, but you won't really get the big picture. I honest to goodness believe this. You won't ever truly grasp the big picture until you grasp that there is a spiritual element to it as well as these other elements. It's not the only element, but it is there. And it won't ever make sense until you grasp it. There has to be, even if you just know there's something wrong. A lot of times that something is the fact that what's required here is an authoritarian figure that can coordinate, that can make the command, that can make sure it's carried out, delegated to others, and then check on how they're doing. I'm telling you, that central command is Satan. Whenever... I think one of the things that's important to remember is that's really illustrative is what we read in the Bible of Jesus' temptation in the desert. You know, Satan goes and tempts Jesus while he's fasting in the desert. And one of the really telling aspects is when the devil offers him authority over all the kingdoms of the world, if he'll bow down and worship him. And the fact that Jesus didn't tell him, you don't have that authority. So Jesus, in not saying he doesn't, that Satan doesn't have that authority, basically, it's told to us that he does. You see what I'm saying? Because Jesus didn't rebuke him and say, you don't have authority over all kingdoms of this world. He didn't say that. So that means the devil does have authority over all these. Now, how does he have these authorities over these kingdoms? You see, how? He's not literally sitting on a throne in, you know, whatever country you want to point at, is a spiritual authority. As a spiritual authority, as a spiritual influence. And this is where that coordination comes from. That's how it stretches across social media, the media, TV, movies, whatever element you want to call it. You think AIPAC has influence. You ain't seen nothing until you've seen SAIPAC. I just made that up. Back to social media. As I told you, we'd wind up back to it. Consider, if you're on it, consider not. I mean, like I say, don't check it. Post, don't even log in for a week. And then reflect after that week. First, you have to struggle through all the reasons you can't do that. But if you do power through that, reflect on it after a week. And I would be willing to bet your life will be better. It creates, part of what it does, the most obvious thing social media does, is it encourages you to seek the approval of men, seek the approval of others. It is literally like, you know, Pavlov's dogs, you know, training them. You know, you're slobbering for likes, reposts, quotes, people giving you adoration, you know, and compliments about how clever you are. Which, of course, then encourages you to go try to one-up yourself and do even better the next time. But I would say the most obvious negative spiritual aspect of social media is that its very design is set up to train you to seek the approval of men. Yep. And we know, as believers, that we have to be on guard against that. It's a natural thing because we socialize. That's what we do. We are sociable. It's not normal. There's a reason that people, like, if you go out in the desert, there's these hermit people that will have like an old, you know, 40, 50-year-old travel trailer they live in out in the middle of the desert somewhere by themselves. And I can guarantee you they're always strange. They're always really weird. You know, I know the feeling about you just want to just get away, just be by yourself. And that is good in short spells. But if you spend years living like that, you're going to get weird. It's the same thing if you just 100% become an otaku, a neat, and literally lock yourself in your room and don't come out for months at a time. Quit bathing. The Bible says there's nothing new under sun. And you hear people talking about neats and otaku or whatever, you know, and people that stay, you know, shut-ins, whatever term you want to use, because it's kind of, I know there's some difference, but you know what I'm saying. The meme, people say, oh, you're just sitting in your mom's basement, whatever. And they act like this is a new phenomenon. You know, people shut themselves away from others, shut themselves away from the outside world, lock themselves up. And there's like, this is something new. There have always been people who go out and live in the desert by themselves or live up in the woods by themselves in a hut and never have human contact for like years. It's no different if you're living in a 50-year-old travel trailer out in the desert by yourself. There's no real difference between that and being locked up in your room for months at a time and not talking to other people. And in both instances, you're going to be weird. I try to discourage people from being weird. Don't be weird. Anyway, we're naturally, we want to socialize with other people. And there's a healthy level of that. And it's something we normally strive for. Is to socialize with other people. I believe social media, part of that conditioning is it manipulates that and turns it in to something twisted. You start chasing after that. Now, as I started to say, and I kind of started to get off track, as believers, we know it's, you know, there's the healthy aspect of socializing with other people, but we have to be careful that too much, you know, you start then chasing after approval from men. As believers, we're looking for approval from God. We socializing is part of what makes you normal, but it can be used against you. And when you start chasing after men's approval, you're getting it, you know, you're getting it twisted. Social media throws gas on this fire, so as to speak, with their like and repost and all whatever else elements that it has. It manipulates that and causes people, you know, to really start pursuing that, even if they don't realize they're pursuing that in an unhealthy fashion, if that makes sense. I believe it twists. It tends to create echo chambers. It twists people's perspectives, because what happens is everybody groups up with people that agree with them, and they're all chattering at one another. And pretty soon you think that's how the whole world works, or that's how everybody thinks. But it's not. It's just your little cadre on social media. You know, there's a whole array of people out there that don't view things the same way. No. Another thing I find humorous is we know everything is fake in this society. I mean, so much of it is fakery. And things will pop up, and it'll even be on the news, you know. Oh, the latest viral video. You ever wonder, how did that go viral? You know, somebody made a social media post and it went viral. A TikTok video and it went viral. And people never, and you know, people who are really addicted to that, you know, they never seem to stop and ask themselves, how did it go viral? Why did this one out of all this just sea of people posting shit on TikTok or whatever? How did this one post, quote unquote, go viral? It's manipulation. I'm sure most of you are familiar with this, with dead internet theory. And if you're not, A brief definition I'm going to give. It gets a little deeper than that, but a brief definition is that essentially the internet is dead and has been for a while. And honestly, I believe it. Or at least I believe it to a point. I'll put it that way. I believe it to a point. Dead internet theory is that basically a lot of what you're seeing are bots, AI. Now, AI has been in the news a lot over the last couple of years. They've been releasing these AIs and people are just, you know, really, the media is hyping it. The media is focusing people on it. Another red flag, by the way. You have to know this AI that they're now putting out in the public. Common sense tells you this isn't new and you get the, you just imagine thinking that they've come out with this new thing. And you're the first one to get to see it. Do you believe that? What I'm saying is, you look at the AIs that are out in the public now. And some of them, by the way, are really laughably bad. I don't mess with it. Aside from you've noticed, from time to time, I'll use an AI art generator and it's really shitty. That's what you get. That's the version you get. You can bet they've got stuff that's way more advanced. They've been doing this for a while. You know, it's just trickling down to you now and you're starting to get the old beta stuff. They go ahead and let you have that because they're far enough along with what they got. That it's okay for you to have this base version. I don't like it, by the way. I know some people, it's just a tool and this and that. There's something about it rubs me the wrong way. If you ask me, you know, what I think of this AI stuff, you know, how would I describe it? I think it's the Ouija board of the internet. You know, I can't really put my finger on it, but something just tells me it's something I don't want to mess with. Maybe that's just me. You know, I'm not sitting there saying that's right, but, you know, 100% read that. Just me. That's the reaction I have to it. It's the Ouija board of the internet. I don't know how spiritual negative it is. I don't know what you're communing with. But my instincts say, I don't want to be communing with this. You're chatting with this thing. And no one stops and asks, who are you talking to? Well, it's just a large language model. It just collects things off the internet. And that may be true. But still, it can be true and then also true that you are actually talking to someone, or rather, something. Again, it's not something I can even put my finger on. But instinctually, like if I was over at your house hanging out and you said, hey, while we're here, look at this. I bought one of these Ouija boards. Let's have a seance. And I'm going to be like, no, let's not. And if you insist, I'm just going to leave. Well, it's just a game. You don't tell me you believe all that. Look, something in here tells me don't mess with that. Don't mess with it. That's what I have. That's how it affects me. That's my personal view. Now, that I got to wrap up and I keep getting off on these different tangents. Dead internet theory. Who are people running around getting responses from? Anyway, dead internet theory is that a lot of the responses, comments, etc. that you see are generated. Now, I got off on that tangent because I think it's important to realize they're not going to release the latest and greatest AI and let you try it out. So what you're getting now is the stuff they probably had 30 years ago, 20 years ago. I say 30 years ago, but 20 years ago. And so what they have is multiple generations further ahead. I noted, once you start thinking along those lines, and maybe I'm just going down the rabbit hole of insanity. I don't think I am. You start recognizing it. You know, you watch YouTube. I watch YouTube videos that have nothing related to you. You'd be surprised at some of them, you know, because it has nothing related to like what we talk about here. It's just mundane sort of things. And I'll start reading the comments. And when you start thinking along those terms, there's comments that when you start to read the comment, you read it, you know, there'll be like a, I don't know, say a 4-line long comment. And you'll read the first 4 words, and in the back of your mind, you already know what the rest of the comment says. without even reading it. And you go on and read it and you're like, well, it's just what I thought it would say. And then if you have patience and you scroll through the comments long enough, you'll hit another one and it's not word for word verbatim the same as the earlier comment, but it's close enough. Now you can say, well, that's just people being NPCs, and maybe there's some truth to that. But maybe that's all being generated by bots. Imagine being what I wanted to get to the point I think I was trying to make. Hell, I don't even know what point I was trying to make now. Imagine the irony of people being addicted to social media, running around and chasing likes, reposts, and whatever. And it turns out that whenever they do get those, they're not even getting the approval. You're caught into the trap of seeking approval of men. And when you get a little payoff, you make a post and everybody likes it. You got a bunch of likes and reposts and quotes. And it turns out, and you're feeling good. You're patting yourself on the back. Man, I was pretty smart when I put that. And it turns out that the vast majority of those posts and requotes and whatever are just the algorithm. Those aren't even real people. They're fake internet accounts. Imagine people spend so much time on this shit. It's when you're not on it, and praise the Lord, I'm not. And you look and see how addicted people are to it. People in your life, people living under your roof, maybe. People you work, whatever. And you watch how just hooked on it they are. And they would just sit there and just keep scrolling and their eyes are glazed over and they're just stuck and they just can't leave it alone. Common sense tells you that ain't healthy. I'm telling you, man, quit it for a week and see what happens. Just try it. I mean, if after a week you're like, oh, that was a nothing burger. I'm still just, that didn't change anything for me. So be it. I mean, go back to it. I don't care. But I would encourage you to do it. Again, I'm not being one of these crackpots and saying social media is the devil. But I do think it plays a part in the devil's influence. Quit it for a week and tell and see how you feel. See how you feel. Ask yourself when you consider the possibility of doing that, why you're having this internal negative reaction saying, no, I can't do that. I'm not going to do that. This guy's crazy. No, I'm not me. No way. Now, gosh, I have very important things to say, and people won't know what to do if they don't read what I post up. And half of those people may not be people at all. We got to wrap up on that note. I hope that made some sense. I hope today's Christian-specific discussion, it wound up being a rant. But it is spiritual aspect. There is a spiritual aspect. If you take nothing else away from this, I always hone this point. You will never understand the world around you until you understand the spiritual aspect, the spiritual element of it. I will continue to beat this dead horse because I think it's one of the great deception, a part of the great deception that has come upon man is they no longer recognize. You know, it's like the old saying, the greatest trick the devil pulled on men is convincing him that he doesn't exist, blinding them to the spiritual aspect of the world around them. You understand it, it all makes so much more sense. Anyway, we got to wrap up on that note. I do appreciate you coming by. I hope you got something out of it. And as always, I do hope to see. I hope it is good enough that you'll actually come back next week for the Parish of the Patriots.